All right, we'd like to begin the school board meeting of the Sevier School District. We're in the district office, and today's date is Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. It's 4 o'clock. Those in attendance are board members Rick Orr, Jill Porter, Vice President Ryan Savage. Jack Hansen was asked to be excused. And myself, John Foster. From the administration, Superintendent Dr. Kate Douglas has asked to be excused. In attendance are Assistant Superintendent Mike Willis, Business Administrator Chad Lloyd, and Executive Secretary Krista Nielsen. We'll begin today's meeting with the preliminary by Chad Lloyd.
Our Father in Heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity to meet here as a school board and have a school board meeting. We're thankful for all that Thou has given us and for the opportunity to live in this area and serve the students and families that we do. Please bless that we can deliberate with Thy Spirit and have the best interest of our constituents in mind and make appropriate decisions and say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Fall in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first thing on our agenda is the consent agenda. Is there any discussion or any questions, any items from the board?
Oh, I have one. When I was looking through the gifts from the school, did we have some last month that I missed, or they just didn't get them in? Or?
North Sevier, we're still waiting for North Sevier High. They haven't checked out yet, so we're missing their gifts.
Oh, and okay. I suppose there were some missing.
Yeah. And some of the schools don't have them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. I'd like to acknowledge the student recognition. Academic All-State from North Sevier. In speech and debate, we had Caden Johnson, Gracie Lambertson, Rebecca Christensen, and Tiana Easterday. Also from North Sevier High School, following students placed in the 2A State Track and Field Championship, Trey Torgerson, Kale Torgerson, and then the and first in the sprint medley relay, Kemper Curry, Brody Bullock, Cinch Wineless, and Cruz Hallows. From Richfield High School, following students placed first in the 3A State Track and Field, Carly Jones, Miley Jensen, in the 4x100 team relay, Miley Jensen, Presley Harward, Katie Anderson, and Carly Jones. And South Sevier High School, following student placed in the 2A State Track and Field Championship, Eric Robinson, Presley Blackburn, Matt Sorensen, Riley Goff, Shelby Carter, and Brooke Carter placed first in the 4x400 meter relay, and Hudson Smith, Cooper Castle, Max and Bastion, and Eric Robinson placed first in the 4x400 meter relay. The South Sevier High School girls softball team placed first in the 2A State Girls Softball Championship. Members of that team are Caitlin Nielsen, Kinley Phillips, Kinsey Parsons, Caitlin Lynch, Hallie McKinley, Chloe Donahue, Tessa Woolsey, Allie Moore, Landry Larson, Lexi Monroe, Navy Lindsay, Andy Woolsey, Kate Peterson, Tenley Brown, Destry Morrow, Laurel Singini. That's right. Wishley Bringhurst, Alexia Grant, Kelsey Miller, and Casey Shakespeare is the manager. South Sevier boys baseball team placed first in the state 2A State Board of Students sitting under that team are Benjamin Northrup, Peyton Ingham, Brace Brindley, Cameron Hesse, Riker Freeman, Jagger Red, Stockton Roberts, Canyon Oberlin, Jax Christensen, Houston Blake, Cannon Barney, Grady Heaps, Aiden Nelson, Trail Parsons, Crew Red, Crew Winkle, Gavin Moore, Hayden Edwards, Cannon Hesse, Grayson Ingram, Case Mills, Grady Mitchell, Brody Sawyer, Kyron Roberts, Wyatt Butler, Tufton Campbell, and manager Eric Miramontes. And we'll send a letter of congratulations to them. I'd also like to acknowledge from North Sevier High, Heather Torgerson was named 2A Assistant Coach of the Year at the Utah High School Athletic Association State Track and Field Championships. And Richfield's Karma Barnett was named 3A Coach of the Year at the State Track and Field Championships. And especially from Sevier School District, Superintendent Kate Douglas was recognized by the Utah Lands Trust Protection and Advocacy Office for his leadership that has benefited all public schools across the state. And I'd like to read just a couple paragraphs from the letter that follows, if I could. I think we probably have enough time in this board meeting to do this. The letter comes from the Utah Land Trust Protection and Advocacy Office that says, "Dear Sevier School District Board members, we would like to express our deep appreciation for the tremendous support and impact Superintendent Douglas has had on the growing success of Utah's trust system. His amazing leadership has significantly benefited not just the schools within the district, but virtually all public schools across the state." And it goes on and concludes, "Indeed, it's not often you see such selfless and passionate service rendered by an individual. We've watched in awe of his unwavering allegiance to his responsibilities as superintendent of your school district, while also going the extra mile to share his time and talents for the good of all. The world needs more leaders like Kate Douglas. Your board is fortunate to have such an extraordinary individual administering the demanding affairs of your district. Dr. Douglas' engagement on education issues across the state brings positive attention to your work in Sevier District and amplifies the impact of effective public education policy and funding. Thank you for considering the impact we observe on broader issues that complement his commitment to your district's well-being." And that's signed by the director, assistant director, and program manager. Any other questions or comments about the about any of that or about the consent agenda? If there's no other discussion or comment, I would entertain a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
I make that a motion.
I second the motion.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll do it.
Second.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
I want you to know I got crap.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Seeing that no one has signed up for that, we'll move on to item number 4, items from the board. I see no items from the board on the agenda, so we'll move directly to items from the administration and ask Mr. Mike Willis to take the microphone, please.
This might be a record. Clipping right on.
Well, let's try for it.
I don't have a whole lot to cover. Before I begin, it is, like Jill said, it is summer, obviously. But with the end of one school year and kind of the cleanup now and then getting ready for the next school year, I'd like to personally thank, on behalf of, I think, myself and probably the rest of the administration, the school board, and all the effort and time and what you put into to the school to help students and so forth. It's recognized and it's much, much appreciated, especially by us. We realize how fortunate we are to have this board and the members thereof as a partnership in a way to help make this district the best it could possibly be. So with that said, I just want to say a big thank you to you guys for all that you do for the students of Sevier School District and for me personally. With that said, like I said, it's cleanup time, and that's kind of where we're at. I'd also like to thank Krista Nielsen. She and I worked closely together on several programs. We were spent a while today cleaning up the CRDC. If you don't know what that is, it's a civil rights data compilation. And like even our one administrator, I won't say any names, but he holds a high rank in a religious place today. He even said that should have a couple, if it's acronym, it should have a couple swear letters in there as well, because it is not fun. But Krista does an outstanding job with that and many other things. Trustlands, we work closely with that, making sure it all gets done in the district. And I it's like I told her earlier, I couldn't do it without her. Some of these things that we work diligently on and making sure it just keeps going around and around. And we're, like I said, at the end of the year, starting another one. So really appreciate everything she does for the district and for me personally. With that said, I don't have a lot of new items. I just want to reiterate some of the things that we're finishing up with our Professional Learning Communities Conference. Starts next week, and we're taking 25 members of our district down there again. We're on a three-year rotation at this point, so we're taking four of our schools. Every year we take, when we're on the three-year rotation, when we don't take the whole group, we take four schools at a time, and I think it's super beneficial, especially we mix in there some veteran teachers along with brand new teachers in an effort to really keep the PLC process intact and make it a big part of our district. We realized a long time ago that that really has huge payoffs when it comes to collaborating and coordinating our efforts to share from one another and continue to improve. And so we'll be doing that next week. Excited for that. And then as I move down the list here, a lot of the things behind the scenes that we don't share all that often. One is our curriculum council. We take experts in the field, if you will, people that have been around for a while that we feel very confident in, and we give them those positions, and it's usually a 5 to 6 year rotation. They are in charge of putting together a member council to try and get us the best curriculum for the best price in our district so that we can use that to educate our students. And we usually have, like I said, the best of the best. And when one drops off after an adoption year and then an implementation year, we, you know, I think, how are we going to find another one? But they keep rising to the occasion. The once young, excited teachers, sometimes they're around long enough that they pick up all the tricks of the trade, and we feel very confident in this group that I have listed up here. We just finished with our math, our elementary math adoption. Ashley Larson was our curriculum counsel with that from Monroe Elementary. She did a great job in getting us a good deal on, and that's a tough thing. I always tell them, you got to go, you know, wear your boxing gloves when you meet with some of these vendors, because when it comes time to negotiate, some of these people, they don't like it, but they get really good at it. And I just need to remember, if I ever go to buy another car, I need to take them with me, because they can negotiate things really well at that point. They come to me and I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I go to Chad, he says, nope, that's not going to do it. So I keep sending them back into the fray, and they come back a little battered and beaten, but they do a great job with that. So now, since her adoption year is over, she will start her implementation year. We'll get the materials have already arrived at the schools to start next year. And next up is Amy Nielsen at Avon Elementary, for the adoption of elementary reading and language arts. And so it's just a revolving door. Usually we go for 6-7 years. You'll remember, some of you that have been in the classrooms before, you'll remember way back when, on occasion, I remember some of the books that I might have taught out of had been around a lot longer than 6 or 7 years. And they were written back in the Stone Age, I think, but mostly Chad does a great job with making sure that we have the funding to keep the latest and greatest when it comes to curriculum for our students in their hands and in the classroom. So really appreciative of that program and the mentorship of these people. They also do quarterly, I should say, because I usually give them enough Title IIA funds to have district-wide PLCs where from across the district they come and they meet here 4 times a year and go over curriculum in their respective areas, content areas, and do a great job in bringing what's coming down the pipe to the group. And so we bring them here, we pay them to come in and meet, but at the same time it's one of those things that it's really valuable to have that across the district. We can learn from one another. Instead of always trying to outdo each other, we've learned that there's a lot of value through the PLC process, especially if we can get together and do best practices and share the good things that are happening across the district to, like I've always said, raise the whole ship. Instead of having standouts or stars, we try and improve the district as a whole, and it's been really beneficial that way to have these type of people in those positions. So, next down the line, Senate Bill 103, if you'll remember, this is something we do every year. We're given through that bill 2 days a year where teachers meet. The first one, the principals, first one, the principals are in charge of that day, what's needed in their classroom, in their school. And they put together an agenda for that day. They have to share that with me well in advance. I approve it, and then they spend that day working on things that school might need. The second one is usually our Midwinter Institute, where they come together, and so we're in charge of that. We give them that day for professional learning, and so it's been a really beneficial thing to our district to negotiate and get some of these things through the legislation that has helped improve those areas of our district. Next one is our new teacher training. I haven't tallied it up because it's been kind of a weird year. We've had some lingers when it comes to hiring. We've had some people maybe retire late or for whatever reason. We've hired some of these later ones, so I'm not entirely sure. We generally have about 20 to 25 people at our new teacher training, and that's a required thing for them to go through at the beginning of the year just before the students come, so that we can go over everything that we're doing in our district, kind of the expectations and so forth. And it's been really beneficial. A lot of questions there. They can get their paperwork done to actually start in our district and become part of the team. And so that's on August 12th. We have Opening Institute on August 13th. Again, it's the Johnson Files. Should be very entertaining for our teachers. We always like to start that day and kick it off in a variety of ways, but mostly something that gets them excited, and whether it's laughter or they come, you know, whatever it might be, motivation, music, whatever it is that can get them pumped up for that next day when the students arrive, and that will be on August 14th. And then the following Monday, just as a reminder, we have our back-to-school bash, and we like to serve the people and their families in our district that give so much to the students in this area. So that'll be at the fairgrounds, 5:30, August 18th, and it'll be here before we know it. That's all I have to share. Is there any questions?
This is just a question, just because I just want to know. On the solution to the PLC work conference at York Davis, how do you determine what teachers to take?
So we kind of leave it up to the principal, but we tell them, you know, by now we've done it long enough. I've been every year, because I go down and I set it up, and I go down and just make sure that we're where we're supposed to be, and if I can help in any capacity. And so I could probably teach that by now. I've heard all the jokes and so forth, but ultimately Yeah, it's got an extensive agenda. If you'll remember last year, it was an interesting thing because it filled up so fast. We ended up having to wait till they opened it up to a bigger venue, which is, I mean, you can't get much bigger than what they got, but it has a lot of breakouts, so there's something for everybody. And then there's teaming time with their group, and I'm kind of a stickler with that. You're expected to go to teaming time, and I've been impressed with our principals to facilitate that and make that something that they help their people, start grouping and working together, and that's a big part of it. But it is really on the principals. They try and get a mixture. If a veteran teacher hasn't been there, they need to get them there. If they have been there, hopefully it's been several years and it's a refresher course. But we usually don't send first year teachers because they got enough on their plate. We wait till they get their feet wet a little bit in the next year, and then we really encourage those first year teachers to get down there so they kind of see what we're all about, because that is a huge part of our district. And as far as what it's viewed in education or around the country, PLCs are kind of the silver bullet. So it makes a huge, huge difference, and we've realized that for a long time. I think we're kind of the experts on it now. So
at least you are, right?
Well, at least I am.
We used to send like grade level teams. So you'd send like your second grade team and your first grade team. Or one year we took our team leaders.
Yeah, that's great example.
So you just come up with your own mixture. So, but with the teaming time, when you send your team down there, mm-hmm. it's great for them because they come up with tremendous ideas. They all pool. Everyone will decide a different direction to go, and then when you do your teaming time, then they all come together and talk about what they've learned today, and then how are we going to implement it. So it works out.
It's excellent.
So, I guess the principals kind of keep a running tally of who's gone and who.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't want somebody feeling like they were getting.
No, I think if anything, I mean, really, it's they go down. I mean, it's Vegas, obviously, so there's plenty to do, plenty to eat, plenty to see. But I've been every year. I'm impressed with the leadership that we have down there. We require the principal to go, and so they have that key component that the principal holds their feet to the fire, and then I hold the principal's feet to the fire, and it works out really well. But yeah, not many people get left out on that. If we do it long enough, everybody will have at least one, maybe two or three opportunities.
Good.
So,
is there any chance a school board member could be?
Climb in. Let's go.
I'd really like to go down there. And
yeah, that's a
good. So that I could talk with some level of understanding about what we do down there.
That might be a great thing to look at. Yeah, it's very well done. Yeah, I'll definitely look into that. I think that would be. I'm sure it's been done elsewhere. So let me look and see what I can come up with.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Chad.
The only thing I have is just give you an update on the construction projects going on. The locker rooms at North Sevier and South Sevier is kind of the main thing going on right now. They're progressing pretty well, but I mean, with construction, things always tend to go a little bit slower than what you would hope or would expect. South Sevier's probably a couple weeks ahead of North Sevier, which always kind of was the point. One of the schools was going to have to be ahead of the other. South Sevier is the one that's probably a couple weeks ahead at this point. They're to the point at South Sevier where they're doing electrical and plumbing's pretty much done. They'll be getting the tile within the next couple weeks, we're thinking. And then block walls are almost done at North Sevier, and on the boys' side, the block walls are done. Electrical is beginning. The framing's kind of done. They're finishing the block on the girls' side of the locker room, and then the electrical will be in there and plumbing, and just kind of that same thing. Get the tile going in South Sevier, and then it'll be over at North Sevier after that. We had a timeline. We had the construction manager lay out a timeline for us yesterday, and he's projecting. I mean, they're beyond the contractual completion date of the beginning of school, but they're projecting August. I think it was around August 22nd for South Sevier to be completed, and September 2nd for North Sevier. So we talked through that and the problems that was going to cause for us. Obviously, school starts early this year. We're going to start school around August 15th or 14th, I think. The principals aren't too worried about that with PE. They can make do without locker rooms and push PE into the areas. You know, it's good weather. The kids can be outside. Showering is not really a thing that goes on at the schools anyway, so they can make do. The principals aren't worried about that. The biggest concerns are, what do we do with football games and volleyball games? Both schools have made really good contingency plans with volleyball. The middle schools are just planning on them and prepared to have as many volleyball games as they need. I'm not sure how many home games South Sevier has. I believe Ryan, Principal Harris, told me that there's 5 home games for North Sevier. So if we push into September 2nd, some of those early home games might have to be pushed off. Hopefully some of the home games could be played at the high school gym at South Sevier. If they're done by the second or that third week of August, it might be a little less of an impact. They might be able to do more of the home games at the high school. So we've kind of got that problem. I asked them if football was a little bit bigger concern to me, because there's not, you know, we can't really go play football at the middle school. So I asked them if they would be able to maybe focus on, instead of trying to complete the boys and the girls at South Sevier and the boys and the girls at North Sevier, maybe focus on getting the boys' side completely done at both schools, so that we could at least have a football game. We're building those locker rooms so you could actually put a home team and an opposing team on the same side of the locker room if needed, and shut a door, and they'd have their own area, own showers, own restroom. So if they're able to focus and create some efficiencies that way, we might be okay for football. And the football games start early. I mean, there's right off the bat, as early as that first week of school, there's home football games.
But if your schedule, if your teams you're playing aren't too far away, they've been stuck in the ag shop.
Yeah, and I brought that up to North Sevier, to Mr. Harris, that, you know, the ag shop somewhere you could put them. There's bathrooms in there. Obviously, no shower facility in there.
But yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. If we're playing Denison, they can go home and shower.
Yeah, and I'm not sure who the games are. I know one of the early games is North Sevier versus South Sevier. So both of them will be pretty understanding.
Yeah,
I don't know the other.
At the little, by the, what is it? The storage container? You just have that covering that.
One of the games is, one of the early games, I think, is Enterprise comes to South Sevier. So that's, I don't, you know, they're just going to have to figure it out. I've heard a few complaints about it, and it's like, what do you want us to do? Do nothing and keep the old locker rooms, or do you want to have some, you know, forward movement and get better buildings? And it comes with a little bit of pain. So the biggest complaints I've heard about is a little bit about the volleyball being moved at South Sevier, but I think they can work through it. On the opposite end of the schedule is the bleachers, and I think I brought up last month that those aren't expected to be here until the middle of September. And each bleacher has a 3-week installation plan, where 1 week is removing them and then 2 weeks for the contractor to install them. So with both schools, there's really 6 weeks there where they'll have to be installed. So what we're hoping is, if they get there in the middle of September, that's where South Sevier's volleyball might have to be played at the middle school. They can start on the bleachers there before the basketball season. And then the same thing with Norseford. Hopefully they can finish up there. Volleyball will be done, and there's, you know, a week or 2 week break where hopefully they can get into new bleachers. If they run into any issues there, I think the solution is just to hold off and wait until Christmas break or wait until the basketball season's over to install the bleachers. I don't really want to get into interrupting the basketball season. I don't see how we could play those games at the middle schools. But some of the littler, like if they're playing a game where there's not a lot of gate, where a lot of the opposing team doesn't travel that well, you could probably get away with it at the middle school. But if you've got a South Sevier Richfield game or a North Sevier Gunnison game, you're not going to be able to fit the crowd in the middle school gyms. So it's going to be hard to move those. But construction companies doing what they can, they're pushing, and it just gets, you know, in those small spaces when you got electricians trying to work on top of plumbers and plumbers trying to work, you know, it's just tight and in a hard timeline. So if you hear any complaints about it, just let people know we're trying to give everybody a good building to have for future years, and it comes with a little bit of pain. But other than that, one quick update, the tennis courts over Monroe, those are being refinished right now. I know that was in board meeting, you know, I don't know how long it's been ago now, 6-7 months ago we talked about it. We've completed ownership of that. They're being refinished right now. That should be wrapped up in the next, probably not by the end of this week, but next week I would think that would be completed. Other than that, we just got a bunch of carpet projects going on.
Carpet's
going
to be done by the time school starts.
Yeah, I don't see any issues with it. They were moving really quickly at Ashman, according to Amy. And Red Hills was next, Pavant, and then Saline Elementary. Those crews tend to get in there and get it all done in about a 2 week time frame. So once they're in the school, you should expect 2 weeks. 1 week to demo, 1 week to get it all installed. So, any questions?
On the early football, do they have restrooms that they can use and that type of stuff?
I mean, they're just going to have to be directed to different areas of the building. You know, like at South Sevier, they'd probably end up using, you'd put one team in, like, the wrestling room and one team in the fitness room. And then there would be probably a shared restroom there, which isn't ideal for, you know, both teams to be sharing a restroom facility. But, like Jill brought up, the ag building is probably where you'd put a visiting team at North Sevier. So, yeah, they're just going to have to think through it and put teams in different areas of the building if they're not done. So
it's been done before.
Yeah.
When North Sevier High School was built the first year, they didn't have bleachers, and so every single game was played at the middle school. I mean, the last time they did anything at the high school, we just used the ag shop until they finished. So
yeah, it'll work.
It's just construction.
There'll be a few gripes, and people just don't understand it. It's like the bleacher thing. I heard gripes about that. Well, why can't you just get them ordered now? Well, we did. You do order them, but they come from China, and they take 8 months to, you know. It's not like you just snap your fingers and you have bleachers there. So anyway, okay, if that's all.
I just had a question. Where have there been any issues with the pickleball players on the tennis court? Is that not been an issue?
Well, I mean, they're not done yet, so I'm assuming it'll rear its head when they're done. We did
talk about it. Maybe it'll go away.
We did, just so the board is aware, we ordered signage that says no, do not modify these courts to play pickleball, and they're hanging on there now, which doesn't mean you can't go in there and play pickleball. I don't think anybody cares about that, but we don't want tape being put down and chalk and things like that.
Well,
So, I don't know. Monroe City just needs to figure it out, honestly. I mean, Aurora's got pickleball courts. Redmond's got pickleball courts. Lyme's got pickleball courts. Richfield's got pickleball courts. Monroe City needs to figure it out. So, okay. That's all I have.
One other thing, I should have probably brought this up in items from the board and overlooked it, but we had a couple of thank you notes. One from South Sevier says, "Dear Sevier School Board, South Sevier would like to thank you for your scholarship donation to our students. We truly appreciate your continued support." Signed, Shay Lyman and Brett Bigley. And then there was another one that says, "Thanks so much, Sevier School District. Thank you so much for awarding me this scholarship. My mom and I gasped when I was announced as the winner. This is so generous, and I'm grateful the money will go towards tuition at SUU this fall. Thank you." And that's from, I think it says Ivy Nielsen.
That's Mercer.
I just wanted to make you aware of that. We do have a closed meeting to discuss personnel and negotiations. And so I would entertain a motion that we move out of our open meeting and into closed meeting.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Then we'll do that by a roll call vote. Rick Orr?
Yes.
Jill Porter?
Yes.
Ryan Savage?
Yes.
And I'm a yes, so we'll take a short break and then we'll move into our closed meetings.